Let's pray. Lord, please open your word to us, open our hearts to you. In your name we pray, amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 2, 15 through 21. And as you're turning, let me ask you, how does the saying go? If at first you don't succeed, try, try, and try again. That's often good advice, isn't it? Of course, what's the other side of that coin? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting the same results, or expecting different results, I mean. Several years ago, when our riding lawnmower needed some repair work, I took it into, I forget where, it doesn't matter, but to a mechanic. And he did all the repair work, and then in the process, he also changed my blades. And he tightened those blades on with a power wrench. The next year, when I attempted to change the blades, I couldn't break the bolts loose. So, you know, I did what we all do. I tried, and tried again. I took, you know, I sprayed them to loosen them. Sometimes that works, and it didn't. I pounded on the wrench with a hammer, because sometimes that'll work, and it didn't. And then I used a bar to extend my wrench for better leverage, and sometimes that works, and it didn't. So after a good hour or so of trying to muscle the bolts off, I finally broke down, went to Menards, and bought a power wrench. And when I came back, 2 minutes later, I had the bolts off. When it comes to being reconciled to God, don't waste time trying and trying and trying again to be good enough to please Him. Go straight to Menards, so to speak, and buy a power wrench. So again, if you haven't turned to our text, please do, Galatians 2, 15 through 21. And remember, a number of the Jewish Christians had come from Jerusalem to Antioch. And they told the Gentile Christians that they must be circumcised and follow the Jewish customs if they wanted to please God. Or as we would say, they told the Gentile Christians they must try, try, and try again to be good enough to please God. In response, Paul said this, Galatians 15 through 21, "We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose." So what did Paul, broadly speaking, say in these verses? I broke it down this way. To summarize, he said in verse 15 through 16, there are two ways to be justified, by trying to be good enough or by trusting in Jesus, and only one of those is a good option. And then he said in verse 17 through 19, you cannot have it both ways. You cannot both trust in Jesus and try to be good enough to please God. It doesn't work. And then finally in verse 20 through 21, he said that true salvation can only be found by reconnecting to God himself. So let's look at each one of these in more detail. So first of all, verse 15 and 16. There are two ways to be justified, by trying to be good enough, or by trusting in Jesus, and only one's a good option. As the Galatians teetered between these two options, Paul reminded them in verse 15 that we ourselves, and here he means we, Paul and Barnabas, we ourselves, Paul and Barnabas, who were Jews by birth And they were good Jews, very good Jews. And they were raised thinking that if they were good enough in following the law, they tried to be good, if they were good enough, then they would be justified. And Paul says, even we ourselves, Paul and Barnabas, who were raised in this mentality, even we did not waver between the two once we understood the two options. He said, verse 16, we know that a person's not justified by works, but instead he's justified by trusting in Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul said, the next verse, he said that by the works of the law, no one will be justified. And why is that? No one will be justified by trying to follow the law or trying to be good enough. No one will be because no one can be. It's impossible. A person might try, and try again, but he can never be good enough to please God on his own. So in essence, Paul said, there really is only one option. If you want to be reconciled to God, there's only one option, and that is to trust in Jesus Christ. The world doesn't get this. They absolutely believe in the first option. They absolutely believe that they can be good enough to please God if they try, and try again. If they try real hard to be good. But they're wrong for two reasons. One, they don't understand God's standards. So in any given situation, how good is good enough? If you want to buy a four-bedroom house and you come across a three-bedroom house that has everything else that you ever wanted, that three-bedroom house, even though you wanted a four-bedroom house, that three-bedroom house might be good enough, right? On the other hand, if you are constructing a precision machine which requires a widget exactly 5 millimeters in diameter, you cannot settle for a part that's 5.1 millimeters in diameter. It's not good enough. It has to be perfect. It has to be exact. What standard does God use? The latter. To be good enough, we must be perfect. In other words, if we want to try to be good enough to please God, we have to be better than is humanly possible. We simply can't do it. And two, the world doesn't understand the depth of our brokenness. People in the world know they're broken, just like we do, but they don't understand how broken they are. So consider, if we were the way we were supposed to be, if we were perfect, we would never do anything we're not supposed to do. Lie, cheat, hate, be smug, be petty, take revenge, and so on. In the same vein, if we were perfect, if we were the way we are supposed to be, we would never fail to do anything we are supposed to do. Have compassion. Help those in need. Give God what is his due. Always place him first in our lives. And so on. If we were perfect, if we were the way we are supposed to be, not only would we do all the things we are supposed to do and not do the things we're not supposed to do, we would also think all the things we're supposed to do and not think all the things we're not supposed to do, and speak all the things we're supposed to do and not speak all the things we're not supposed to do. Pretty daunting, isn't it? Still, if we were perfect, it's even more than that. If we were the way we were supposed to be, our motives for doing what we do or don't do, what we think or don't think, what we speak or don't speak, would always be 100% pure. We are not just a little bit broken, are we? We are completely broken. So trying hard to be good enough to be reconciled to God is not really an option. We can't do it. I could have tried and tried and tried and tried and tried to break those bolts loose. They just were not going to come loose. I needed a power wrench. Man can try and try and try and try to be good enough to please God, but he can't succeed. It's impossible. He too, so to speak, needs a power wrench. He needs someone to break loose the bolts of sin and free him from sin's guilt and power. And that is, of course, what Jesus did on the cross. So verses 17 and 19. You cannot have it both ways. You cannot be saved by faith. You cannot trust in Jesus and try to earn his approval. The Galatians, I believe, genuinely thought they needed Jesus to save them. I think that sounded reasonable to them. But then when the Jewish Christians told them that they needed to obey the law, they needed to try hard to be good in order to please God, that sounded reasonable too. They were confused. And you can almost hear them think, if a Christian is supposed to just trust in Jesus rather than try, and try again to be good, then why do Christians still sin? Why doesn't Jesus make those who trust in him good, as in almost perfect? And since Christians do still sin, doesn't that mean they should try again to be good, better than they are? Paul responded to this in several ways. First, he pointed out that we cannot blame Jesus for our own sin, even as Christians. Paul asked what the Galatians had on their minds in verse 17. He said that in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, if we are still found to be sinners, does that make Jesus a servant to sin? And then he answered his own question, certainly not. Now, he doesn't expand on that thought. He just states it and then he lets it lie. So let me expand on it. When a boy is born, or a girl, when a child is born, we do not expect that child to immediately act like a grown-up, do we? So why do we expect a person who has just been born again to immediately breathe out holiness everywhere he or she goes? Growth takes time. Growth takes time. Then Paul clearly stated that we absolutely cannot have it both ways. We cannot trust in Jesus and try to be good to please God. He said in the next verse, if we rebuild what we tore down, in other words, if we walk away from trying to be good enough to please God, if we walk away from that and then return to it, if we rebuild what we tore down, we walked away from it, now we're returning to it, he said, then we prove ourselves to be transgressors. We prove that we are once again going our own way. Indeed, think about it. If we try to be good enough to please God, what are we really trying to do? We are trying to stand on our own two feet, spiritually speaking. Isn't that what got both Satan and Adam in trouble in the first place? They wanted to be like God and stand on their own. It sounds so right, but it is in actuality terribly, monstrously wrong. Finally, Paul said, trusting in Jesus doesn't lead to sin. It spurs one on to godliness. He said in the same verse, if we want to live to God, then we have to get off the merry-go-round once and for all and stop obsessing about ourselves and lose ourselves in the wonder and grace of Jesus Christ. He said that he died to the law. He turned his back on the law. He turned his back on trying to be good enough. Why? So that he might live to God. If we want to truly know God, walk with him and please him, we got to stop trying to impress him and lose ourselves in the wonder of who he is. Think of it in human terms. How intimate would any husband and wife relationship be if it was only built on autus and not on grace and love? You can't have it both ways. You can't trust in Jesus and then try and try and try again to please him on your own. And I think every partner has found himself or herself in this situation. Your child is struggling with a really difficult task, a young child usually. Say like a shoe that has this really impossible knot in the laces. And they're working at it and they can't get it and they're frustrated, but they're trying and they're trying and they're trying again and they can't get it. And sometimes even in frustration, they throw it on the floor. And then you see them frustrated, and so you say, here, just give the shoe to me. Let me take care of it for you. And so you take the shoe, and it's a mess, but you're patient, and you're working on it, and you're starting to untie the knot. And then what does the child sometimes do? Grabs that shoe from you. Let me do it, they say. Yeah. And what does the parent do? They just shake their head in frustration, don't they? Like, really? I wonder how many times God shakes his head in frustration when we who have trusted in him snatch our shoes, so to speak, from him and try to be good enough to please him. To please the one who has totally, completely, wholeheartedly, irrevocably already accepted us and adopted us as his children. Verses 20 and 21. Salvation can only be found by reconnecting to God himself. And though trying and trying to be good enough sounds like it's the way to reconnect, it's not. In fact, it drives us further from Christ. But when we trust in Jesus, he enters into our life and reconnects us to himself. Paul said to the Galatians, verse 20, that he had been crucified with Christ. By this he meant his old self died with Jesus on the cross, and then just as Jesus rose from the grave, so too he rose, just like we do, rose to newness of life, reconnected to Jesus Christ. So Paul said to the Galatians, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Apart from Christ, we're like the hand wrench I was using to try to get the bolts loose. Connected to Christ, we're like the power wrench. There's a whole new dimension to our life. Before, we tried and we tried and we tried again to be good and failed to be good enough to please God. But reconnected to Christ, we can and do walk in holiness, empowered by Jesus Christ himself. And of course, we can't see Christ who lives within us, so we are told that we must live by faith in the Son of God. We have to take Jesus at his word, that he does indeed live within us and empower us, and then act accordingly. And indeed, not that this proves anything, God's word is proof enough, but indeed, we've all found this to be true, haven't we? So for example, someone hurts us deeply, and I'm talking about the kind of hurt that just cuts us right to the core. Man, it just lays us bare right down. It's so deep. And we're angry, we're hurt. And we're so angry, as the saying goes, we cannot even spit. We're so hurt, so angry. I'm talking about the type of thing we don't get over right away, right? And we tell ourselves, I need to be a good Christian, so we try to forgive. And we try, and we try, and we try. But it just festers. And then we call out to Jesus, and we say, Jesus, I can't let go of this on my own. Help me. And then what happens? Maybe not immediately, but often not too long afterwards, his peace floods our soul. And suddenly we're able to let go of whatever it was that we couldn't let go of before. Why? Because it's Christ within us, empowering us to do and be the things that we are supposed to do and be. Now, the Jewish Christians from Jerusalem believed that God's grace, again, was obtained through obeying the law, trying to be good enough. Paul said, because I'm sure they accused him of this, he says, I do not nullify the grace of God. But that grace doesn't come from trying to be good enough. It comes from trusting in Jesus Christ. And then he said, in point of fact, if grace could be obtained by being good enough, trying and trying and trying again and succeeding, then we don't really need to be born again, do we? We don't really need Christ to live within us and empower us to be holy. We don't even really need his forgiveness. Then Christ died for no purpose, didn't he? But we can't be good enough to please God. We do need his forgiveness. We do need his power. We do need a Savior, and that is what true grace is all about. So think about this. Because Jesus did die for us, we are forgiven. All your sins have been washed away. Every stupid thing you have ever done, forgiven. Even the things you have trouble letting go that you have done, even those things, forgiven, forgiven. Every stupid thing you'll do today, this week, this year, already forgiven, forgiven. Amazing grace. Not only that, because Jesus died for you, you are empowered to be the person you were meant to be, you were created to be. In Christ, now this takes faith, in Christ, you are good. You are kind. You are compassionate. So believe it. Or as Paul said, live by faith in the Son of God. In Christ, you are patient with those who wrong you. You are forgiving to those who hurt you. Believe it. In Christ, you overcome temptation. You choose the right path. Believe it. In Christ, you are able to minister to others, to be there for them, to point them to our Savior, to speak words of love and peace. Believe it. Is not our salvation marvelous? So once again, what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results. When you have tried and tried and tried again to loosen the bolts on the mower, go to Menards and get a power wrench. Don't keep on tugging and pulling on your wrench, hoping you will finally break the bolts loose. In the same vein, live by faith in the Son of God. Don't keep on trying to please God on your own. Live by faith in the Son of God. Let the one who dwells within you have his way in your life. Let him guide and direct you. Let him empower you to be the person you were created to be. Let him make you each day a little bit more like him. And enjoy the peace and joy that only Christ can give. Enjoy walking with him. Be free, not exhausted. Let's pray. Jesus, it is a delight to walk with you. The greens of the trees are greener, the blues of the sky are bluer when we walk with you. When we walk with you, our spirit soars, Lord. Your grace, your love, your peace washes over us. We were created to be connected to you, and life is good when we are. Forgive us when we go our own way, when we try to stand on our own. And fill us, Jesus. Make us like you. Send us out to do your work, to do your will. And thank you, Jesus, for your glorious grace. In your name, amen.